patient data is private. Now you need to worry about the security of this data. Who gets access to this? Regulations need to be put in there.
Welcome to Border Health Horizons, the podcast where we delve into the dynamic world of health and wellness along the U.S.-Mexico border. I am Dr. Emre Umucu, an associate professor and associate dean for research in the College of Health Sciences. We are excited to have you join us in this journey as we explore the unique health challenges and successes that define our border communities. On this podcast, we are not just addressing the issues, we are also highlighting the innovative solutions and remarkable individuals who are making a difference in health and well-being on the both sides of the border. So tune in as we uncover stories of resilience, share insights into groundbreaking research, and also celebrate the strides being made to improve health outcomes in our vibrant borderlands. Before we begin today's episode, I would like to introduce our distinguished guest, Dr. Salama Salama. Dr. Salama is the outgoing chair of the Department of Computer Science at the UTEP, where he led the department for the last 5 years. He is incoming associate vice president of research for computing and artificial intelligence at UTEP, where he will lead the development of initiatives at the institution. Dr. Salama led the development of the key initiatives in cybersecurity at UTEP in collaboration with the Army Research Lab and also some other national laboratories and industrial partners. Dr. Salama, welcome, and thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you. Great to be with you. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you. So today's topic is something I'm really interested in, and you know, like I think you are the best person to talk on artificial intelligence. Could you briefly explain what AI means and how it is currently being applied in overall research?
So artificial intelligence is a field of computer science that focuses on creating systems or solutions that mimic human behavior or human intelligence. These tasks include reasoning, problem solving, understanding languages, and perceptions. While I say it's foundationally in computer science, artificial intelligence is really be rendered useless without true interdisciplinary research being applied in multiple research areas. So AI started 70, 80 years ago, but it was a different AI than what we're talking about today. AI in the past was the symbolic type of AI focused on logic, rules, and all of that. While today it's data-centered type of area. And the change really happened because of the enhanced computing capabilities, the vast amount of data that we have right now. So while it's in the past, it was a closed domain where you knew all the type of questions that you will get, all the type of situations, all the type of answers that you would need to get, and that worked for us in identifying logic, identifying if this happens, then react this way, and so on. What we have today with the advances of machine learning, deep learning, and all of that, and again, the vast amount of data that we have, now we're relying on computing, artificial intelligence systems, learning from these data sets and applying this to generate new information, new data, and new results. Where it's applied everywhere. So in terms of research, we'll talk today a lot about healthcare. So obviously it's immersive in healthcare, but let's talk about also climate science. So understanding weather phenomenon, try to predict future weather, natural language processing, understanding, and trying to being applied in translation and the like. Obviously, it's always been in robotics, having robots do certain jobs for us, but it's also applied in social sciences, in psychology, sociology, and all of that. One important area for me personally is the cybersecurity and national defense. So again, with the huge amount of data that we have about computer networks, attacker mindsets, and all of that, a lot of this data is used to trying to understand an attacker's mindset, trying to come up with mitigation strategies and hardening our systems against attacks.
Wow, that's great to hear. Like, I didn't know actually the philosophy behind the AI started like 7 to 8 years ago, right? What I am happy is, you know, like there is a great deal of human brain behind the AI, right? But also like advanced computers, like chips, like very advanced chips, right?
Absolutely.
I think in one way it makes our life, you know, like very easy, right? So especially for researchers, like we can easily use it. But in some way, you know, it's little, you know, like also scary, but we will definitely talk about that as well. Yeah. So can you share, you know, like maybe like some real world examples of AI models and how it outperformed traditional methods in health sciences?
Right. So let me go back to your last comment about it being scary. I think AI is good at certain things. It's good at the heavy lifting, the things that our humans are tend to be a little bit slower at doing, the mechanical work, the repetitive work. But it's not here to replace humans. And again, we'll talk about that. So in terms of health, it's been used for medical imaging and diagnosis. So it's much better at, you know, analyzing X-rays, MRIs, CT scans, and discovering something that's probably not available for the naked eye, the human eye. So it's very good at that. It's also breast cancer detection, especially in the earlier stages. So AI can be very helpful of that. We're all familiar with COVID and COVID vaccine. A lot of that was done through AI, again, in ingesting a huge amount of data and trying to come up with what the best vaccines, what possible side effects might be for that. Another big thing is health assistant and mental health. So AI can be used to for the design of particular interaction with humans for health. But again, in all of these, humans are very important partners.
It's a content expert, right?
So, content expert. The context matters. The background matters. And again, as AI and the data is an important piece of this, that does not replace the human. The human should be the final decision maker in all of these.
Yeah, I was listening, you know, like the NVIDIA CEO recently, and then he was making a comment about, you know, like we shouldn't really worry about AI or having more AI engineers, but he was saying like they need more content experts to make AI more advanced and then make it like more precise when it comes to health, education, you know, like or social science or computer science.
And our goal really as a society should be to maximize AI as a support system for us, right? Again, we don't want people doing that heavy lifting, the busy work, the repetitive work. We want the AI, the machine, the computing, to do all of that, to give us some suggestions. But then at the end of the day, we're the ones who are responsible for the ethical use, the regulations that are associated with all of this.
Yeah, that is actually my next question. So, you know, like AI is supposed to make our life more efficient, right? So in medical setting, health research, or any type of research. But of course, like we are humans, right? So we sometimes use AI in a way it's not ethical. So I was wondering, like, what are some of those key ethical challenges that come with using AI in research, particularly concerning patient data, privacy, and confidentiality?
Right. So one of the major challenges for AI is the availability of data, right? But it's not just not available because it's not there. It's there, but a lot of times entities try to protect this data, which is the right thing to do. And especially in the health research and the health side of things, patient data is private. So we have to be careful about how we do this. Now, again, we talked about the advance of computing, the availability of vast quantity of data. Well, where is this data? This data sometimes is stored in the cloud, sometimes it's stored in network. So it's not so gone are the days where it's stored in a healthcare provider's office, where you only needed to worry about physical security. Now you need to worry about the security of this data. Who gets access to this? So cybersecurity is a major part of this, but also the models that we feed this data to, who gets access to these models. And a lot of times what we do in healthcare and in others, but let's talk about healthcare in particular, is that we take away the identifying information for the patients. But will AI be smart enough to regenerate the identity of those patients? So that's an important piece. So the privacy issues are very important, and we said data security, but also the biases. What sort of data are we using to make prediction, to generate new information? So are we talking about young people? Are we talking about young adults? Are we talking about the elderly? Are we talking about Hispanics, African Americans? Is this data inclusive, representative of the population? That's very important, because if I'm making prediction, if I'm making recommendation, if it doesn't represent me and my kids, then that might be, again, we talk about context. So that's an important piece in here.
that is very interesting. So again, like that is great, but also makes me like a little nervous because so who is checking, like when you said like models, right? So there are some models that make, you know, like decisions or predict things, right, in health. Who is putting those, like I'm believing it's researchers, right? Like putting those models together. But who is checking those researchers, putting those models to AI and then check whether AI is actually utilizing correct models?
Well, I think that's an excellent question. And I think as of today, that's absent. So regulations need to be put in there where, again, the models that you're creating, whether with the support of humans or straight out from an AI-generated system, who's reviewing mm-hmm. these? Who's approving of the data to begin with and making sure that data is inclusive and representative of all of that? There needs to be regulations. Mm-hmm. And my hope is that scientists, and that's a big responsibility on the scientists.
Right.
Because if you're gonna use data and then celebrate coming up with a model, before that, you have to make sure that this data is actually, that model mm-hmm. is accurate because it's based not only on the quantity of data, but the quality of data, where that data comes from.
Yeah. And Dr. Salama, please correct me if I am wrong, but I was also thinking, like, even we have content experts checking those, you know, like, contents we are putting into AI as a model, right? But I feel like it is kind of impossible to check everything, right? So because AI is doing this in a second, like checking everything in a second with computer chips, right? But humans have not that capacity, as far as I know. How do you envision that? Like, what do you think is going to happen? Because we cannot read all the books, right? So, but what AI does, puts everything together, like millions of articles, and when you ask a question, it just responds you in a kind of like summarizing way. But humans cannot do that, you know? Like, how do you envision that regulatory body?
So that's again, that's an excellent question, and that's a lifelong question for computer scientists and software mm-hmm. engineers. So forget about AI for a second. We have always developed software that is safety critical software mm-hmm. that controls weapons, controls a nuclear reaction mm-hmm. control. And in many of these cases, if that software fails, then people die or a big investment is lost and all of that. Well, we've always had a problem with that because that's a problem in computer science, because you cannot check every possible input and compare it to what you expect for mm-hmm. it. Well, take that and put it on steroids for AI, because these software systems that we were developing in the past and we continue to be worried about, well, at least we developed them. We knew what went in there.
Right.
With AI, it's a black box, and we don't know what goes inside that. So the answer to that is really two. There has to be huge advancement in computing and in software engineering to make sure that testing and reliability, validation and verifications of these systems, the old way of doing things is just not mm-hmm. not available or not applicable. So that needs to be part of this. But as was the case, if we were going to put a software system that controls an aircraft or the behavior of aircraft, there needed to be some certifications, and the government has those. Mm-hmm. Well, now we need to have those for AI types of systems. And I think it is scary, but it's an opportunity for computer right. science and computing and those individuals, those
yeah.
types of researchers.
I think absolutely, yeah. I think like so exciting, you know, like to have advanced AI models that makes our life easier, right?
Yeah.
But also help us like do more creative research to
right.
improve people's health.
Right.
So you and I have collaborated in multiple, you know, like projects in the past, right? So one of my questions is, how do you see the ideal partnership look like between AI systems and, you know, medical professionals when it comes to making crucial health decisions?
Right. So again, there has to be an understanding, and mm-hmm. there has to be an understanding by all of us, one, that AI is not here to replace the human.
Mm-hmm.
It's a collaboration between us and these systems. And I think it would be very important for us, one, to have that faith. AI is not here to replace humans. So one of my favorite saying, and I heard it from a colleague, is that AI is not going to take the future jobs. Those future jobs are going to be taken by somebody who knows how to use AI.
Right.
So that human is very important. Again, we have to separate, right? So AI, as I said, is very good at doing things that a human are just, as you said, slow at doing, incapable of doing, ingesting a huge amount of data, analyzing that data, coming up with pattern, identifying anomalies and all of that. AI systems are very good at that. But ensuring ethical use of AI, ensuring that these systems that come out are actually doing what they're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. The models that we come that come that are resulting from these AI systems, it's the human's job to make sure that these systems are, as we said in the past, inclusive and all of that, but they are actually doing what they're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. You can think of it also as two set of eyes. So humans can run their analysis, their predictions, their suggestions through an AI model and see what comes up. What are the consequences of this? Mm-hmm. What are the side effects of that? And the same thing, whatever we get from AI systems is not the gospel. We have to go back and check and see that works for my context, mm-hmm. works for my client, in this case, the patients, mm-hmm. and that it's representative of who they are.
And actually, like that is also related to my last question. So, like you said, I think it's important for people to understand how AI functions, right? And then they can use it in the future. So, what advice or suggestions do you have for researchers here at UTEP, right, or nationwide? But also, the community, what would you suggest them? Let's say, there are parents, right? So they are worried about their kids. Oh, are those automations, robots, AI is going to take, my kid's job? So, what suggestions do you have for them?
Yeah, I think everybody needs to know AI. I, again, as a chair of computer science, uh-huh. I'm probably a little bit biased here. I would say that, but that's not, I don't think that's shocking to anybody. I think everybody needs to know computing. Everybody needs to know technology. Everybody needs to know AI. That doesn't mean that they have to become AI experts, computing mm-hmm. experts, and technology experts, but they need to know a little bit about it. They need to know how to use it. Again, back to my comment, AI is supposed to help you with your job, making sure that you are a lot more efficient at your job, and it's not replacing, it shouldn't be replacing that human piece of it. So what, for example, in computer science, we are, while there are AI systems that can write code mm-hmm. for you. That doesn't mean that students are not going to have jobs, future software engineers, because even if you talk to the Googles of the world, they are okay with that, because we want to graduate students who are very immersed in the foundations of computer science, of health, of engineering, and all of that, that they are able to formulate the problem, ask the right questions, come up with a design, and then feed that mm-hmm. to the AI systems and let it come with the right with the busy mechanical work. Develop strong foundations mm-hmm. in AI and in your area of study. That's very important. So I don't think for health researchers and students and all of that, it's not enough that you are a strong student in health sciences, biology, and all of that. You need to know how to apply mm-hmm. AI to help you with your work. Another piece of this is AI is highly interdisciplinary. You need to know how to work with people from different disciplines. You need to be able to speak the same language or come up with a language that is understood by all parties. We have the new generation has a responsibility. Mm-hmm. AI can be just like every technology can be very helpful, but it can be destructive.
Right.
And it's what we make of it. It's focus on the ethics piece of it. Focus on the responsible piece of it. Focus on making sure that the data that I'm using is representative. So all of these, that's the human. And without understanding enough about AI and how AI works, we're not going to be able to make that distinction. So we might end up being unethical without noticing that we're being unethical.
Wow, those are great advice, Dr. Salama. And thank you so much again for being with us today. And I think your insights also, gives some advice and feedback to not just researchers, but also community and policymakers, right? So maybe like high schools or starting from elementary schools, right? Like maybe kids should learn computer science, AI. And I know you guys are working on that, right? Like improving those outcomes for them. Again, I'm very excited, but also a little nervous about AI, but I think it's normal. AI might definitely transform healthcare and health research, but it also might outthink me one day. So jokes aside, again, like these possibilities are inspiring, and I'm thrilled to be part of the field where, you know, like human creativity and also machine intelligence can work hand in hand. And that wraps up our insightful episode of Border Health Horizons. Again, I would like to thank you, Dr. Salama, for being with us today and then sharing your, you know, like perspective for AI and how we can use AI in health research. Again, if you enjoyed today's episode and want to stay updated on the latest in health and wellness along the border, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We have got more engaging conversations and expert guests lined up for you. And remember, whether you are in border community or beyond, the strides we are making in health are relevant to all of us. Thanks for tuning in to Border Health Horizons. Until next time, stay informed and stay well.
Thank you.